Welcome to today's deep dive. We have a very specific, a really critical mission today. We are serving as the ultimate study shortcut for you, this ILEMO OCS candidate sitting your exam in May.
Yeah, and we are getting straight to the source. We're unpacking the official examiner's report from the November 2025 to February 2026 exam session.
Right, because last session, you know, thousands of candidates walked out of their operational case study exam feeling great. And then, well, they got a failing grade weeks later.
It happens all the time. And they didn't fail because they forgot the formulas, right? They failed because they treated a living, breathing company like some abstract math problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we aren't just reading this report to you. We are pulling out the examiner's secret expectations.
Yeah.
But to do that, okay, let's unpack this. We have to establish the world the examiner created.
Context is everything on this exam. You literally cannot pass without it.
So true. Treat the pre-seen material like a cinematic universe. The examiner is asking you to write the next scene, and you can't just ignore the established lore of the company.
Right, so let's set the scene. The focus here is Sumtrix, which is based in Reland, so they use the R dollar.
And it was founded by three people, right? Elena Ricci, Felix Schmid, and Julian Fisher.
Yep, and their backstory is actually super important. They combine their engineering expertise with this huge love for freestyle skiing.
To create really high-quality skis. But the main thing, their unique selling point, is that every single ski features original artwork.
Which is awesome for branding, but it creates a total nightmare for operations. Sumtrix has its own production facility, and they sell to retailers and directly via their website.
They also sell unbranded accessories, don't they? Like poles, helmets, goggles.
Yeah, gloves too. And this operational squeeze shows up directly in the financials. Look at the year ended 30 June 2025. Revenue was a really solid R-dollar, $14.1 million.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Gross profit margin was 39.7%, but their profit before tax margin plummeted to just 5.7%.
Wow, wait, down to 5.7%? That's a massive drop.
Exactly, and that tells a story of massive operating costs that candidates needed to pay attention to.
So depending on which day you sat the exam, there were six specific variants tested. You might have had to analyze the touring ski range.
Or maybe building website sales with a newsletter or expanding into North America.
Right. Or an adapted ski range, accessory expansion, or even the custom ski market. Lots of different scenarios.
But the exam structure is always the same. Four tasks, broken into 2 to 4 subtasks. And it's marked on a levels-based approach, you know, level 1, 2, 3, or a 0 if you write literally nothing rewardable.
So let's talk about the results. Like, what separates the best from the rest here?
Well, the good news is there were actually more high-scoring level 2 or 3 candidates than in previous sessions.
Oh, that's awesome. How did they do it?
They fused technical understanding with direct, relentless references to the Sumtrix scenario. They wrote well-structured, detailed justifications.
And the bad news.
A huge number of low-scoring level 1 candidates seemed, honestly, wholly unprepared.
Like they didn't study at all.
No, they answered all the subtasks, but with poor technical knowledge and zero application to the scenario, plus a total lack of clarity.
And I guess there are some people in the middle, too.
A few, yeah. They either had specific technical gaps or reasonable knowledge, but totally failed on application.
Okay, wait, I have to play devil's advocate here. What does this all mean? If I memorize my textbook perfectly, right, and just dump all that flawless knowledge onto the page, isn't that enough to at least scrape a bare pass?
What's fascinating here is that the examiner is screaming, no, at the top of their lungs. Memorization equals a fail.
Really? Even if the math is perfect. A fixed overhead volume variance is the same math for skis as it is for software.
The math doesn't change, but the business advice does. If we connect this to the bigger picture, to score level 2 or 3, you have to provide an explanation or justification, not just describe a concept.
So treating it like a pure math test is the trap.
Absolutely. You're an advisor, not a calculator.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Let's look at the technical triumphs and disasters. What did people actually get right and wrong?
Well, candidates showed good technical understanding in a few areas, things like IAS 16, impairment, IFRS 5.
Oh, and decision-making with risk and uncertainty beyond budgeting and basic variances, like raw materials or sales price.
Right. So a level 3 candidate wouldn't just say IAS 16 dictates capitalization. They'd say, under IAS 16, the cost of installing new automated presses for the touring range in Reland must be capitalized.
They weave the standard right into the factory floor. I love that. But it wasn't all good news, was it?
Not at all. When candidates face complex variances, the wheels just fell off completely.
Right, like fixed overhead or sales mix variances. I always think of basic variances like the bunny hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone can get down safely. But a sales mix variance, that's a black diamond ski run. People panic, skis fly everywhere.
That is the perfect analogy, and they also struggled with what-if analysis and the value of perfect information.
This raises an important question, though. Why the massive disconnect on the harder topics?
It comes down to a total lack of depth. The examiner noted that candidates would calculate a complex variance, see it was negative, label it adverse, and just move on.
Wait, they thought just writing the word adverse was the answer.
Yep. But mathematically correct is practically useless to the founders. You have to explain why it's adverse in specific terms. A short sentence isn't enough.
Like, did the supplier for goggles raise prices? Or did the custom artwork on the adapted skis take twice as long to paint?
Exactly. You have to tell the operational story behind the financial number. And that lack of depth directly impacted the core activities of the exam.
Let's break those down. Where were the points actually won and lost in these core activities?
The best performances were in core activities B, which is budgeting, E, decision making, and F, working capital.
Okay, so people get cash flow and new product budgets. But what about the worst ones?
Core activity A, costing, was a disaster, along with C, performance evaluation, and D, financial reporting.
Let's look at costing. Standard costing works fine if you make identical widgets. But some tricks puts original artwork on every single ski.
Right. The USP creates an operational bottleneck. Standard costing models break down when you have that much custom variability.
So if a candidate gave a generic, standard costing answer, they totally ignored what makes some tricks unique.
Exactly. And performance evaluation, core activity C, was just as bad. People were offering incredibly vague metrics.
Like, we should measure customer satisfaction.
Yes, which is useless. If you measure a KPI, it must be smart. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound.
So instead of measure satisfaction, it should be like measure the warranty return rate of touring skis over 6 months, keeping it below 2%.
Spot on. That gives Elena, Felix, and Julian actual actionable data.
And what about financial reporting? Core activity D.
The pitfall there is that you must recognize the accounting rule and apply it to justify the treatment. You can't just state the rule in a vacuum.
But there is a silver lining in the report, right?
Yeah.
Like the logistics of the test itself.
Yeah. Thankfully, layout, the use of headings and timing were not an issue for most candidates.
That is a huge relief.
Yeah.
So formatting and time management aren't the enemy. The real enemy here is just being vague.
Totally. The difference between a bare pass and a good pass is the constant, relentless application of technical understanding to the scenario.
You have to answer all parts of the subtask set, right? Not just the one you pre-prepared in your head.
Exactly. Don't pivot to what you want to talk about. Answer the prompt.
So as we wrap up, let's remind everyone of the key takeaways. You need to know some tricks are $14.1 million revenue business inside out.
And you have to apply the technicals directly to their skis and unbranded accessories. Make sure your KPIs are smart.
And when you explain a variance, actually explain why something happened on the factory floor or with a supplier.
Right, you're translating knowledge into insight.
So as you sit down for your May exam, ask yourself this. Are you just reciting a rule, or are you acting as a true business partner for Elena, Felix, and Julian?
That is the ultimate test.
Imagine explaining your answer to the founders face to face. If your one-sentence explanation wouldn't satisfy them in a boardroom, the examiner definitely won't accept it on the page. Good luck with your studies, everyone.